Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you, Bill Jack from Worldview Academy, also with me today. And Bill, I'd like to go over this battle that goes on over the minds and the hearts of the next generation. There is a tug of war. There is a spiritual war that goes on over the future generation, the children. This has been going on since the Nazis, since Adolf Hitler, since Karl Marx, since Jean-Jacques Rousseau. The powers that be want the kids.
Yeah.
They want the kids.
It doesn't matter who it is. Both sides recognize that education is important, or they used to anyway. The left still does. I mean, it was Hitler and the Catholic Church, and I'm not equating the two, but I'm just showing how broad a spectrum recognizes this. They said, give us a child until he's eight, and he's mine for life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Hitler knew this. Stalin knows this.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Christians have dropped the ball on this. We don't recognize that anymore. But the state does. The secularists do.
And this is a major reason why the churches in communist China are being persecuted. I can show you a sign. I'll do it in just a moment, Bill. But I can show you a sign that's been put up in front of churches across China. Most recently, this is just over the last several months. No children allowed. Bill, no children allowed. The concern is with the early Reign Covenant Church that was so committed to Christian education, they had their own Christian schools.
Ah.
That's why they came after Wang Yi. That's why they came after the early Reign Church.
That's exactly right.
Because these people took the discipleship of their children seriously.
Yep.
This is why the communists will come after you in America. This is why the communists will come after you in China. And it turns out the early Reign Church is losing their families now because the gendarmes are coming in trying to confiscate the kids. Here's a interview that was done with Liu Kuang, who's escaped to Taiwan most recently. And he said they not only threatened us, normal church members, but they threatened our children. Also, CPC forcibly sent our adoptive children back to the original family. That is the main reason why we fled China, because we can't guarantee our adopted child would be taken away by them. We must flee China because our children are most important to us. This is a point I've made in the Second Mayflower and other books that I've written on the subject of resistance to governments. When is it time to flee? When is it time to get out of Dodge? It's time to get out of Dodge when they prevent you from homeschooling and discipling your children.
Now, people are going to think you're just crazy and that's not going to happen in America, but let me show you how this is done incrementally. This is a step-by-step process. As I've mentioned in a previous program, the teachers' union in Los Angeles, very large, and in San Diego, voted not to return to the classroom until their demands were met, and one of the demands was that they defund charter schools. Now, charter schools are a bit of a choice for families who don't want their students in a totally secular immersion. But charter schools are hated by those in control because they are run by parents.
And don't forget charter schools in the state of California, very active in the homeschooling department, too.
Yeah. Yep.
A lot of homeschoolers are registered with charter schools.
They're under the umbrella.
Yeah. Right. Well, friends, the battle for the hearts and minds of our kids are waging the most ferociously in the present secular states across the Eastern world and the Western world. This is the battle for freedom and liberty in the present day. This is the battle for the future. This is it. We are right in the core of it, right here, right now. And that's why the Generations Ministry, that's why we reach out to about 120,000 families around the world. It's a worldwide ministry in which we are ministering to families in at least 25 countries. In fact, recently I've spoken to pastors from at least 14 to 15 Asian countries by Zoom and have given them this message, Bill, this message about family discipleship and the tug of war that goes on by the principalities and powers that control the state in their various countries. And I warn these pastors, you've got to engage this battle. You have to be willing to be persecuted at this level, because the hearts and souls of your children require you to lay down your life for your children and to engage this element of the worldview war. And that applies just as much to people in English-speaking nations like America and Canada, as it does to the Asian countries that I was speaking to some 2-3 weeks ago. Well, friends, we'll be back in just a moment with more on the Generations Broadcast.
Calling all fathers, young men, and church leaders. This September 28th to October 2nd, join other Christian brothers on the eastern plains of Colorado at the home of Kevin Swanson for a time of spiritual fellowship and growth. You'll experience 5 days of rich teaching, warm fellowship, extended times of prayer, and meals abundant in good food and edifying conversation. Our theme for this year focuses on being steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 2020 has clearly revealed the shaky foundations many in our society are building their lives upon. Foundations of fear, anxiety, suspicion, accusation, anger, and violence. But the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 reminds us that Christ's resurrection gives us a solid foundation for remaining steadfast and brings purpose and meaning to our labors for the Lord. Join us this September as we gather for a time of spiritual strengthening and refreshment. You can register online today and save with our early bird pricing when you go to generations.org/shepherds. That's generations.org/shepherds.
And we are back on the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also here. Bill, kids have come home. 60 million kids have come home in America over the last 4 to 5 months because of the COVID-19 issue. And now the homeschooling movement grew from 3 million students to 60 million students over the last 3 to 4 months. And most California schools are not reopening in the fall. I just read that. Virginia schools not reopening. Oregon schools not reopening. I'm guessing half of American schools are probably not going to open in the fall.
Right. And there is an opportunity for Christians to seize the day, if you will, and provide alternatives to the secular education that is being force-fed to students. Now, one of the things that is beneficial is, as students are online, parents can walk by and look over their shoulder and see what they're being taught. And I got news for you. That is freaking out the educators who are hostile to traditional values and hostile to biblical values, because they can't readily spout their poison and pour it into the students' minds if they know mom and dad are looking over the shoulder of the student.
That's the benefit of what has happened in just the last 3 to 4 months. There's no question, Bill. There's a benefit. And I'm hoping that that will yield some longer-term results. I mean, we are hoping and praying that somehow this meager 3 million students who are homeschooled in America, of which 53% are evangelical, would increase. I just pray that God would increase this, use this as an opportunity for a massive revival, family revival across America. Now, here's one of the drawbacks, though. There's always, you know, positives and negatives. Here's one of the negatives. Is it really a good idea to bring your children home? Online stuff for kids now, 5 times online experience for kids as what they experienced before COVID-19 hit. 48% of kids are spending more than 6 hours a day online. That's a 500% increase since before the crisis. That's a 48% of kids spending 6 hours per day online. YouTube, 78%. Netflix, 50%. TikTok, 33%. That's the platforms and apps they're using now. And more than half of parents are worried that their children are or will become addicted to online activity as a result of the coronavirus pandemic. Friends, and here's the point. You can't just escape something. You've got to embrace something. We don't want kids coming out of the public schools, out of the frying pan, and into a fire. You can't just escape the schools, the masks, the bullying. You have to embrace something positive. What you want is a positive raising of your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord.
Many people started homeschooling as a reaction against the secularization.
Yeah. Like their kids got bullied or whatever it is.
Or just they saw what was being taught. Mm-hmm. They continue to homeschool because of the benefits that they learn they have in a home education.
And I'm hoping that that's the case more and more. Some homeschools are more unhealthy than the public schools. You say, well, how in the world could that happen? It can happen if parents aren't loving their kids. They're toxic relationships. Love grows cold. Anger's a norm. That can be a big negative. Or the children can become more isolated into their media. That is, the parents just don't care about it. They go down to the basement. The kids are doing media for 6, 7, 8, 9 hours a day. Whereas public schools might have at least relieved the isolation. Or children can become bored, where the idle brain is the devil's playground. Sometimes there's less discipline and structure in the home, and that itself is a terrible environment for kids. But as we've said, public schools oftentimes, always, almost without exception, provide an indoctrination in the wrong worldview. That is, at root, they are materialistic, anti-supernaturalistic. Ask them, do you believe in God? Do you teach God? Do you teach the supernatural at all? No, we just teach the natural here. What's that? That's naturalism. That's materialism. That's anti-supernaturalism. And that's how your children are taught not to fear God, not to worship God, not to consider God to be of any value whatsoever in the science class, in the history class, and in all the classes. But here's one more thing. Public schools and private schools involve a fair amount of peer contact, and therefore pop media contact. Over time, we begin to see our kids drifting into the zeitgeist, and by the time they're 14 or 15 or 16 years of age, they basically have the same nihilistic attitudes. They have the same rebellious attitudes. They have the same basic materialistic atheistic attitudes that are shared by their media, et cetera, et cetera. And they might have a fair amount of access to pornography as well. Don't minimize that. But friends, if you're going to maximize on the homeschooling experience, I would encourage you to our week-long seminar in maximizing the homeschooling experience that we are going to do via Zoom and YouTube streaming coming up this week. So keep that in mind. Be sure to hit it. I think it's going to be 10 a.m. Mountain Time every day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. By the way, it's free, so you can check it out. Israel Wayne's going to be there. Mike Donnelly is going to be there. Sherry McMinn, myself. Bill, you're not going to be there. I'm sorry. We need to include you in this thing.
Well, I feel left out.
Yeah.
Is it because I'm not wearing my mask?
It could be that. That could be the issue here. Well, friends, let me encourage you. Maximize on the homeschooling experience. This is what I think is the most important for all of us. We want to maximize on our homeschooling experience, and that involves good relationships. That's the bottom line. It's not the easiest thing in the world. Bill, it's not like my relationships with my kids have been the easiest thing in the world.
For them.
Been a lot harder for them than me. You got it, brother. You got it. I think the key is to be humble, to confess your sins. You know, grow the relationships. That's what matters the most.
And that's what, I make that point jokingly, but that's what dads and moms need to realize. That you are not the best dad or mom in the world. But you are the best dad and mom that God has for your kids. That's what you need to realize.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're not perfect, and you're not the best, but you're the best for your kids.
Yeah, and I think people forget that. You know, the best person in the world to introduce a child to Jesus
is the parent.
Is mom and dad.
Yeah.
It's not Billy Graham. It's not Billy Sunday. It's not any Billy evangelist, youth group leader, any other Billy on earth. The best Billy to introduce Jesus to your children is you, mom and dad.
Yeah.
That's it. So here's one more thing. I think dads should be involved. So I encourage dads to be involved. Maximize on the homeschooling experience by involving dad in this. And that means let's bring the Word of God in. Let's share the Word of God. That's why we do our family Bible study guide, so that dad has something he can use every morning and some questions to ask about the book of John or the book of Matthew or Psalms or Proverbs We have, what is it, 9 family Bible study guides at this point? No, it's more than that. Sorry. It's 11, I think. 11 family Bible study guides available at generations.org. That's the core. I call that the core curriculum. Let's say you missed out on math on any given day. You missed out on your science. You missed out on your literature, what have you. Here's the question. Did you read the Word of God? Did you spend 10 minutes in the Word with your kids? That's the core. That's the core. Don't leave home without it. Don't leave home without it. That's the core. Okay, dads get involved with core, with character, and with curriculum. Dads get involved with the core, the character of your kids. You got to be focused on the character of your kids, be working on that. And the curriculum, what does that mean? That means, hey, you know, when you choose curriculum, you know, get the, go out there and buy into the right curriculum. Go find the best stuff. Don't just leave it to mom. But go to the homeschool conferences. Check it out. Check out our curriculum online. And I encourage dads to be involved with this, Bill. Don't you think dads should be involved in the worldview aspects of the kids' education?
Yeah. And that's the men need to step up. Dads need to step up. And it doesn't mean that they necessarily are doing all of the teaching, but they need to be totally involved in choosing curriculum and encouraging the family, encouraging students and encouraging moms, and teaching where you can, because you do it as you rise up, as you lie down.
It's the integration of mom and dad and the integration of the Word of God. And here's one more thing. It's always healthy if you can get a family business going. I mean, here's the bottom line. You don't want your kids bored and you don't want them entertaining themselves to death. It's just something about getting ministry projects going. Here's another thing. I mean, some families, I know some families have got involved in politics. I mean, they just, that's what they do. Some homeschooling families get involved in ministry work with orphanages in Mexico, whatever it is. Just be sure your family economy is active. That doesn't mean you're out making a bunch of money. Doesn't necessarily mean you got your own farm and you're raising your own chickens, milking the chickens and feeding the cows or whatever they do. Doesn't mean you do all that. Just means you're involved in other projects besides books all day long. Spend some time out in the fields, plowing the fields or doing the ministry,
you know,
what have
agriculture,
you.
Agriculture, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Milking the chickens and feeding the cows. That's what we do out here on the eastern plains of Colorado. All right. So, you know, friends, homeschooling is great.
Remind me not to ask for a glass of milk.
Okay.
It'll take forever. Forever.
All right. Thanks, Bill. But here's the deal. Homeschooling is great if you plan to disciple your kids in the Word of God. And if you have enough going on, you have decent structure and discipline, and the relationships are being formed under the cross of Jesus Christ. That's the key. Just boiling it all down, I think that's it right there. That's been our ongoing experience with our kids, Daniel, Emily, Rebecca, Bethany, and Abigail, and on to the third generation here in just a little bit. All right. So, Bill, before I'm done, we've been talking about the young people. We've been talking about the kids. I want to end on a good note. You guys say, finally. Here's a good note. Listen to this. The American Bible Society did a survey, and there was some bad news involved and some good news. The bad news is overall, the percentage of American adults that read the Word of God on a daily basis is down. It's 9%, down from 15% in 2014. Okay. So that's first data point. First data point is the daily reading of the Word of God is down overall. But here's something that shocked me. Listen to this. The millennials and the Gen Z generation, that would be, you know, roughly the 19 to 35 crowd. Okay. The 19 to 35 crowd more likely to read the Bible than the older generations. Can you believe that?
That is shocking to me, because I, in working with students, I'm finding an increase in biblical illiteracy.
Yeah.
But that is a bit surprising to me.
It surprised me too.
And
it's 43% of Gen Zers read the Bible on a daily, weekly, monthly, 3 to 4 times a year basis. Now, I put it all together. So, okay, those who are reading the Bible in a given year, 43% of Gen Zers reading the Word of God, compared to 35.5% for boomers and 28% for the silent generation. Can you believe that? That's a pretty significant difference for the younger generation. Evidently, this has to be one of the most positive reports I've seen in 35 years of ministry. This is extraordinary. Now, why? That's my question.
Now,
I asked my son. Yeah. Well, I asked my son why. My son is a, I don't know, millennial or whatever. And I asked him, why is it? He says, Dad, that makes a lot of sense to me because the young people that I hang out with, they tend to like to be more honest. I said, what do you mean more honest? He says, well, they want to hear the truth. They want to know the truth about themselves, and they don't want to be hiding anymore. So he says there's a transparency, he thinks. And so maybe that's true. It seems to me that the younger generation, most definitely tired of traditionalism, that's just a facade of Christianity, kind of like an external cultural Christianity, but there's no core. Are you with me? Just facade, just fake. I think they're looking for the real thing. I think they're not wanting to fake like they're Christian, like they've never confessed their sins, and they're just continuing the porn habit in the basement kind of thing. That characterized too much of the 1950s American Christianity.
And the access to more copies of the Bible.
Well, they've got their iPhones now.
Right.
Everybody's got access to the Bible conveniently. I'm hoping they're using their smartphones for a good reason.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are many ministries out there that are taking advantage of the apps that can be downloaded to proclaim the gospel and to draw people to reading their Bible. So I think that's a good thing.
Well, I think there may be a reviving going on with the millennial generation. You know what's interesting also, Bill, is we did the Gen 2 survey about 5 years ago and found the only churches that were growing with millennials, there were churches growing with millennials. The only churches growing with millennials were those that were taking the Bible dead seriously and, Bill, and discipling or holding accountable their membership. That is, there was the walk along, talk along, discipleship. Those were the ministry. They were small churches. They weren't the mega churches. They were the churches that were most likely to spend, you know, 500 hours a year walking side by side with four millennials.
And that kind of thing. That goes with what your son said, and that is that they want reality. They want it to be real. They want it to be applicable. They're tired of the fluff and stuff.
I agree. I think that the millennial generation, the Gen Zers, at least this segment of them, is done with this modern, heavily emotionalized, sentimentalized, Dionysian orgy, primal scream thing called music that just distracts from the truth, from the propositions, from the object of what we're to believe about God, about Jesus, about the historical reality of Jesus, his resurrection, and his word. Friends, I think there could be a revival going on in our generation. Bill, could it be?
I would hope so. And I think that's what's needed for our country to turn around. It's not involvement in a political cycle. That's important. But it needs to start with a change of heart. It needs to start from the inside out, not from the outside in.
Well, friends, I would encourage you to our resources. Of course, our family Bible study guides that gets you back into the Word of God and gets your young people back into the Word of God. Be sure to get the Proverbs Bible study guide. That's critical. And the Psalms. I believe that the warp and woof of the Word of God on a daily basis working into our spiritual life blood has got to be the Book of Psalms every day. That's what we're doing right now. I encourage you to our family Bible study guides that go through the Book of Psalms. I think it's a 5-book series, friends, available at our website, generations.org. Get into the Word of God. Get the Word of God into you. And I'd encourage you to our Bible study guides available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack. And we want to invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.